The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
This is Bite by Bite, Heart of Alabama Food Bank CEO Michael Coleman joins us every single week. Here about 5 or 10 minutes, we talk about food banking, feeding America. We've gotten a couple of fantastic emails from people that have picked up our show, and we greatly appreciate that wherever you get your favorite podcast, and of course also on our Tony Curry YouTube page. And this week we're going to talk about why is there a persistent need in food banking? Again, you've thrown me out something that is incredibly broad, but I know you want to specify and bring it in narrow. So tell me what you're thinking here, my friend.
Well, a lot of people hit me up with that. We've had, Feeding America came and talked to us, talked to the network about, a lot of people are like, a lot of companies are like, hey, we've been helping you with food insecurity for 40 years. What else you got? As if, okay, we've been attacking this problem and the problem should be solved. But we have made progress. We saw real, COVID really ramped up the numbers when all the people lost their job and then they were in homes and all that. So we have brought that back down. And so the network, we definitely see the impact of what we're doing, but there's too many variables that affect it. Some are more rooted that are not easy to overcome. Some of the root causes of poverty that we see, those can't be overcome very easily because they're systemic. They're rooted in practices sometimes, government practices, or in institutionalized. It's not, I don't want to classify it as institutional racism, but it's just an institutional way. And so if you're on the outside and the way it's working is not benefiting you, it's very difficult to change the institution that's affecting that. So let's just talk about a few of those. So one is, income inequality. And lots of times when you talk about income inequality, a lot of people think, oh, you're getting into racial disparities and all that kind of stuff. And it's not really about that at all. It's really about the idea that there's so many people that are working, but based on where they live, there's simply not opportunities around. So we serve what's known as the Black Belt region of Alabama. Mm-hmm. And just for clarification, I want people to understand that is not based on race. It's based on the soil content. There's a lot of agriculture. So it's called, there's about 18 or 19 counties that are considered the Black Belt. We cover that, but because it was highly agricultural, there's a lot of generational poverty over time in these areas, because typically you don't have large organizations come in and businesses come in that'll bring 500 jobs. And like Hyundai came to the area in Montgomery, created this huge plant. There's all these tier one plants around. You have some of that, but you still have counties that really don't have any major industry that's feeding jobs to that county. So you come up, your spouse are both working. So it's not a laziness issue. It's not a lack of effort, but you have to drive several counties away to be able to get a job that makes a living wage. So even if you can do that, think about when you're barely able to make ends meet, you've got a living wage, but you have to drive so far away, so you got all those added expenses. And now any kind of car maintenance or car having or any sort of problem with the kids at school, it actually can cause you to lose your job, and then losing your job puts you in the pits of poverty because you're already struggling just to get by. So there's just real challenges out there of where people are located. And look, I get it. There's the old joke, why don't you just move closer to the industries and all that? I think we talked about that a few weeks ago. But when you don't have anything and then you think, okay, I'm going to pick up what I do have. I'm going to leave this county where all my home is, where all my familiarity is. Yes, that takes courage. But I'm going to go out. Wait a minute. I don't have thousands of dollars to either buy a house or to put a down payment on and start a new job and survive. I mean, there's just, and that's just one of many barriers. So it's this economic inequality that exists as you get out into rural areas where you have challenges of people trying to make it together. I mean, spouses making it together. And then you throw in this, which is another huge factor, and that's the inflationary pressures on that. And we've touched on this, just the rising cost of living. Two of the greatest challenges have been gas.
Yep.
And have been groceries. Well, we see the gas sometimes, like right now we're in a spot where you know what, we can digest in Alabama here, it's about $2.80 a gallon. We can digest $2.80 a gallon because we've lived at it being $4 a gallon and last year, you know, $3.20 a gallon or whatever. So we're like, okay, $2.80. I'm not gonna protest over $2.80. But you see the ups and downs, but in the grocery stores, you don't see that. What you see is a steady, and prices are not going up and down in the grocery stores. Prices continue to just to rise, or they will stay stable. And so what happens is when people go in there trying to feed themselves at a grocery store, and that's assuming that they're able to get to a grocery store. We have several counties in Alabama that do not even have a true grocery store in those counties. So you have to shop at the smaller counties that you don't have fresh food. It's more expensive. It's processed food. It's not healthy for children. So there's just all those kind of barriers. So you go a couple of counties over, the next county over, and you shop. Well, you got to pay for the gas that's now more expensive. You got to pay for the food and it's now more expensive. Guess what? Now there's a gap because I can't make those ends meet anymore. So those are just two huge areas right there. When people say, well, why is there a persistent need? Because the root causes of poverty are really not being dealt with. We treat the issues of poverty, but when things like inflation happens, most of us can absorb it. I would say, we don't like paying extra for gas. We don't like paying extra for food, but we can make some choices. There's some people where they're surviving and that actually puts them under to where they can no longer, they've got to make some real sacrifices at this point to be able to continue to close that gap.
My son is a bagger at Publix, and I know they do wonderful work for you. And of course, the Feeding America and Heart of Alabama Food Bank. And yeah. We were watching Home Alone, the scene where Macaulay Culkin's going through the grocery store and he's putting all the things up on the grocery thing. And at the end, she'll go, that's $19.84. And we were watching it a couple nights ago. My son said, did she say $19.84? He said, back that up. And he wanted to go item by item. We discovered it came out to $113. I don't know when that movie came out, but it wasn't that long ago. And he's like, man, could you imagine getting, I said, yeah, I remember spending $100 at a grocery store. That was good for 2 weeks.
They had a whole article about that. It's so funny you bring that up because I had forgotten to mention that to you, but I saw a whole article about the inflationary cost when they rang that buggy up versus what that buggy would cost today. And it was astronomical. Let me just throw in one more. And that is, it's tied to what we said, but unemployment and underemployment. Lots of times, again, and I keep talking about the rural areas because they're, you know, Alabama has, you know, we have some big cities, but the vast majority of our coverage area is in rural areas. And so lots of times, I'll give you a good example. I had a lady come down from Greenville, which is where I was born and raised, in Greenville, Alabama. She wanted a job. We brought her down. We were going to pay her we're going to pay her an amount plus full benefits, certainly well above a living wage. But she said, well, I'm on the other side of Greenville. It's going to take us 50 miles each way. And then with the gas and the time and my kids get on the bus early, I mean, she said she would do better off getting a job closer to home, even though she was going to be underemployed and have to take that. So every situation is different. Every family is different. But lots of times when you get in these small towns, there's people who are immensely gifted.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, there's barriers to getting to jobs to where they're fully employed with what their talents are. And so they're underemployed. So that is just a contributing factor to why you have this, again, this need to stand in a food line sometimes, because we know, small towns can be, in terms of small town businesses and stuff, one minute they're there, the next minute they're not. Next month you're standing in a food line, especially if you have lots of kids. The last one I can share with you is this, is health emergencies.
Oh, yeah.
People want to know, look, I'm retired military, so I have that TRICARE health benefit, but I also have insurance here where I work. And something that's very important to me to give everybody insurance as a benefit. They don't pay anything. We pay 100% insurance. The reason that's so important is because, you know, it seems like every day I come up with a new symptom of something. Oh, man, I just have to go check. I'm living with this pain. I slept wrong. You know, I got to go to the chiropractor. I got to go to the doctor. I got to go. So it's always something. But with the mental health challenges that are out there, the amount of medication that's being prescribed, the complexity of some of the treatments out there, some people don't have that choice. Like, it gets so bad, they have to go. And you let somebody who is like, oh, I can easily drive over to the next county and go to the grocery store because they've got a little buffer until the husband has to have unexpected surgery, doesn't have health care because you're in a small town environment. Yeah. They may not have the benefits. And now all your money's going towards this surgery, and now you're right back where you were. You've been saving all these years, and now all that money's gotten sucked up in healthcare. And the reality is very few families can shy away from that expense. Even sometimes if you have some that you have a pretty large copay, or you have a where you're paying for some of it at the office, health, I've just seen more and more people that've had to file for bankruptcy because of health concerns and health issues, and they never would have imagined in a million years. This is why the need is persistent. It's not because of a lack of work or lack of willingness to work. It's not because of laziness. It's not because this is life, and we're in the midst of all this. So I've got four or five others I want to share with you, but I want to save that till next week.
Okay, good. This is Bite by Bite.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.